Well, it's time for your phone calls with John Lerma. We'll be back with him in just a moment. His website, by the way, is linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. John, you have stood by people who have passed to the other side. Have you come up with your own conclusions, your own personal conclusions now, what you think is over there?
There, in my heart and in my very essence, and now that I've reconciled my scientific mind with my human essence, spiritual essence, there is something extremely loving, non-condemning, non-judgmental, something so incredible that it makes people literally smile at the end of their life, and a smile that can't be taken off. And usually when someone dies, immediately the muscles will relax, but those muscles don't relax. And it's so profound. I mean, after, 15,000 plus patients, you see 80% of them doing this. The pattern continues. Mm-hmm. There's something there. I mean, scientifically, that's, you know, in order to have something scientifically proven, you have to have a consistent pattern and replication. And it's being replicated. It transcends cultures, races, you know, religion, everything. And what we have in common, we're human. We're human beings living in a tough world. And they're seeing something which that's the God I believe in, is that the God, an incredible loving person that knows that we've all had a tough life in this world and that we deserve to have something that we go back to that you can smile to at the end of your life. And beyond that, of course. And it just didn't stop there. And there's still a lot of mystery that's left. But all in all, it's really not. It's all about we're learning and we're seeking. We're learning and seeking and moving forward. And to answer the questions of who are we, where do we come from, where are we going, and what are we supposed to do. And all the people that die, they know the answers to those questions at the very end.
Well said. Let's go to the phones. You ready? Let's go to Pennsylvania. Donna, first-time caller. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Really quick story.
Sure.
My mother battled cancer, and she was one of the most positive people I ever knew. And she had a living will, but on the day that she passed away, they did have her on a lot of morphine to help with what he was talking about. And she couldn't focus on any of us. And then all of a sudden, she focused right on my father, and she grabbed his hand and smiled and said, he said, it's time. And then she closed her eyes and passed on.
Oh, wow. And there you go, George.
Yeah. Thanks, Donna. Love that story.
Donna, that's awesome. And, you know, still my heart goes with you and your father and everybody. But that's beautiful. She exists, and she's still there for you.
Randy in Dayton, Ohio, on the wild card line. You're on with Dr. John Lerma.
Hey, George.
Hey, Randy.
Dr. Lerma.
Moondog. I know the voice now.
Sir.
Mr. Nighthawk, how are you?
I know that name, yes.
Doctor, I sent you an email today. I'm Randy. I told you I was hoping I'd get to talk to you about
I'm glad you got in.
See, Randy, prayers do come true, don't they?
Oh, yes, they sure do. Absolutely. I live it. I'm a daily testament of it every day. First of all, the Matthew, that's such an amazing story.
Thank you. Thank you.
In 1985, my mother passed away. I was told that the night before she passed, she had an operation, that a friend of hers that had passed years ago had sat at the end of her bed and said she had come to take her home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then my wife's father, Ralph, he was in hospice here in Dayton. Had a childhood friend mm-hmm. apparently come to his room and visited him.
Wow.
The next day, my father-in-law's brother come to the room to visit him, and he had told him about his friend. And my father-in-law did not know that his friend had passed away months before.
There
and he would tell us that, you know, he would see people outside his window walking, mm-hmm. and they did have him on morphine, Dilaudid, and all the
right
drugs to help him and everything. And
right.
Uh, read that the post today for tonight's show, and it just I had to call.
Well, that's an awesome story, George. You know, that happens, and that's happened a lot of times where people are seeing as they're passing, they've seen someone, and that always went against the research project. Okay, if they're going to see somebody, they've got to be dead. They've got to be deceased, loved ones. So occasionally, someone would pop up. They go, the family goes, "Oh no, they're still alive." And I go, "Gosh, are you sure? Let's look up. How long was it that you saw this person?" Well, it's been a month or so. It always turned out, George, they were deceased, and the ill person also didn't know, but was the one that knew. So that's for the family and for myself. Those people, it was entrenched. I mean, it is just carved in their heart that there is another side, especially with that proof.
Great. Thanks, Moondog.
Hey, that's Dr. Lerma?
Beautiful story, dude. That's awesome, man. I love it.
Yeah, Dr. Lerma?
Yes, sir.
The one I was telling you about, my mother, a friend of hers that had passed years ago, an old friend of hers from her childhood. The other story was that when my grandmother had passed,
yes,
she had sat on the same woman's end of her bed and told her she'd come to take her home also.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go on.
I truly believe it. And Dr. Lerma, I live right across the street from Wright Pat.
too close for comfort, Randy.
That's right.
Thanks, Randy.
You know what? And these are the stories that we've heard, George, even before we started researching them from our grandparents and grandparents, that, mama, papa saw somebody. The Egyptians, way back when, everyone's been seeing these things. Finally, we're finally looking into it and saying, what is it that's doing? And maybe before we talk, I can just let you know what we found out on these new MRIs.
Sure. I'd love to hear this.
Yeah. We're going to hear these stories over and over, and I just wish people would talk more about that. You know what? At church, I wish when I went in church that people, our priests would talk about this. You know, they don't even want to talk about death.
No.
Let's talk about, hey, you know, today we lost somebody in our parish, and guess what? This is it.
Well, in the old days, they used to do it in Latin. I couldn't understand when I was a kid what the heck they were talking about.
You're so funny. That's true. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, next up, let's go to Joe in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hey, George, thanks.
Sure thing.
Hey, Joe.
Dude, hi, Doc. George has these people that I called my doom and gloomers on that just make my blood boil, but here you come talking about death, and all I can do is shake my head and go, what a beautiful show. You know, quick story. My father back in 98 was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in February and given 2 months to live.
Wow.
He was stubborn. He wasn't ready to go. And in December, a week and a half before he passed away, a bunch of nuns came over to visit him, and one young novice walked up to him and said, well, Mr. Joe, how are you doing? And he said, well, do you know what the monkey said when he caught his tail under the lawnmower? She goes, no, what did the monkey say? He said, it won't be long.
Gotta remember that one.
How much longer was it that, did he pass after that?
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And, Joe, I'm here in San Antonio with you, you know? Hey, I'm gone.
Yeah. You're not related to the late pharmacist, are you?
Cousins. Yes, I am.
Really? I grew up in that neighborhood, and that man was a giant in the neighborhood. If he couldn't make it back to Dr. JJ, all he had to do was walk up to that counter, and he knew exactly what you needed.
And it just seems to be medicines in our family, and that they had actually a beautiful story too when he died. But I love that story, Joe, and thank you for calling it. It means a lot to me and for everyone listening, all the people. And I just want to say, George has an incredible show. I love your show, George. And I got to meet George at a conference for the first time.
Yeah,
and
we had a great time.
We've been talking. I just got to tell everybody, he's real. He's the real thing. And is it Tom?
Tom Danheiser, sure thing.
Just a wonderful guy. I mean, George dresses very nice, by the way, guys.
Yeah, that time.
He's Mr. Model, but he is so nice and so funny, and the selfless person you'll ever meet. He doesn't think about himself, but everyone else. I just want to tell you that, George, and thank you. I really feel very comfortable with you when we talk. It just flows the way God would want it.
Thank you. John, I'm blushing. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania will go east of the Rockies to Dr. Resnick. Hey, Doc.
Hey, what's going on up there?
George, first of all, it's Dr. Resnick in Pittsburgh, inventor of stealth technology.
Yes.
I want to personally and nationally and worldwide apologize to you for a nasty email that I sent to you some time ago.
Well, you don't have to apologize, but that's okay.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I was ignorant of the fact that you are a veteran, Navy decorated veteran. Now, I'm apologizing. Dr. Resnick, Joseph A. Resnick, inventor of stealth technology, hereby apologize to you.
Accepted.
And you know what? That's a beautiful thing when we can do that and accept it. It brings us all together.
Dr. John, reason for my call tonight, I've been listening since 2:30 this morning. I got to put dogs out. I live out here in Foreign Township, Protected Lab. I do this work for the military, do all this stuff. Anyhow,
wow. Yeah.
You have enlightened me tonight. You have showed me exposed things to me that I had never considered.
Yeah.
I didn't consider these things. When you talked about the little girl, you know what? Hey, George, good show.
Thanks, Doc.
All right. Please accept this apology for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're an awesome guy. You know, I have to just say you're working on with a brain that is open to God, and that's where we're all heading. And you're an incredible person. If everybody could do that, the world would be different.
Let's go to Houston, Texas. Linda, it's your turn. Hi.
Gee, what a great show tonight.
It is inspiring, I'll tell you that.
Oh, always inspiring. I love all your shows, but this one's really fabulous. Just
Hi,
before
Linda.
I ask a question. Hi, how are you, darling?
Hi, baby.
Hi, baby.
I want to tell you a quick story that a good friend of mine, this little boy, had leukemia. And on his last trip to the hospital, he told his mother in the car that he would not be coming home with her this time, that the angels had told him that he was going with them. And of course, she didn't want to buy it, and she was crying and carrying on. Well, obviously, when they got to the hospital, she finally told him it was okay to go with the angels, and he did not go home with her. That just tore me up that a six-year-old would know that. But my question is, do very many of the patients ever talk about reincarnation? And I'm going to take this offline so I can go in and sit with my mother and listen to your answer, because she says hello, too.
Okay, and we're on a delay, so you'll have time. Go ahead, Jen.
You know, I do get a lot of, that question. That's why I mentioned a little about what Matthew mentioned, that I was coming here to help my mom. And, they do, but it's not what you would think that you're hearing, an extensive response. They say, Linda, is that it's possible. However, if you knew the possibilities, the infinite possibilities of what we have brothers and sisters all over this universe and other universes, when you look at, like one was telling me, John, you got to just look at God, and when they talk eternal, we're talking eternal, and then you look at that new spectrum of our universe, that new picture they've taken it. Well, you look at that universe, and then you look beyond that. You look at the darkness. Well, that just keeps going and going and going. And what these people tell me when I ask them that, says, Dr. Lerma, you know what's behind all that? There's another Big Bang going on. And there's another Big Bang and another type of a different Big Bang. And there's life just everywhere. And our goal is to eventually connect. We're trying to learn to connect with each other here first and to try, at least just try. As long as we have the ego, we're never going to get it right. And hopefully eventually that'll go away. But we're eventually going to learn to move from planet to planet. And apparently we have technology like that. And eventually to other universes or dimensions, however you want to look at it. But like Einstein said, it'll be done. A lot of it won't be done with crafts. It won't be done with incredible technology, but it will be done when man realizes that he has the power within himself to do that. And so that's what matters. It's about what you do today.
By the way, that was Dr. Joe Resnick, who did develop stealth technology. He used to work with Westinghouse and then did some work with NASA. And
wow.
That's amazing.
That's, that's incredible. My God. I know. I was like going, how incredible is that?
Yeah, he jumped all over me a few years ago, but I guess, you know, there he is. A bigger man knows how to apologize, huh?
It is. And see, there's miraculous things going on. I'm telling you, when you just start talking about beautiful things, connections, and love, it brings the best out of people.
John Lerma, where do you get the book, Learning from the Light?
You know, most people tend to just get it off Amazon.com.
Simply sit home, just sit on your computer, do it.
Yeah, but it is.
A lot of people like going to bookstores, too.
Yeah, and if it is, it's going to be, you know, Barnes & Noble's and what are the major book chains.
Oh, they're everywhere.
And you know, you all have, I always tell everybody, look, here's the bottom line. I'm doing this. The money that I make on any of this, I use to help to further my hospice, care for people who can't afford it, and just to educate and to fly myself to places to talk, but also to give books to people who can't afford it. So, you know, all truthfully, you know, people, I got to trust people, but I tell people, whoever can't afford a book, please email me and I'll send you one. These messages are that important. I have been entrusted by my patients to you know, who they gave selflessly as they were dying for all of y'all and for myself and everyone else. And I don't want to keep, this is not about the money. This is, I need to get these things out. And if people can't afford it, please just let me know, and I'll send you one home.
Good for you, John. You ready for some more final calls?
Sure, please.
We'll do that when we come right back with our special guest tonight, Dr. John Lerma. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. Now, get up to the new website. You're going to love it once you learn where everything is, because even I am learning where everything is, but it's very simple to use. And keep your suggestions coming to Lex, by the way, because we're still tweaking it. Some people can't find, for example, how to find Fast Blast. So just keep doing that, and we're going to massage that a little bit. But it's very user-friendly, and once you get used to it, you'll realize how simple life really is. I'll be back in a moment. We'll take final phone calls with Dr. John Lerma on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, you asked for him, and we got him. Graham Hancock joins us, incredible author of so many mysteries. Graham Hancock on Coast to Coast AM. Into final calls now with John Lerma. John, before we take the calls, you talk a lot about ego as well. What's its role in all of this?
Well, the ego's role, it is, you got to go to the beginning of our life. It's necessary. And, of course, the churches like to view it as our sinful nature. And then there's our higher self or identity that's our non-sinful nature, the God, the divine person. But here's the deal, man. It's all part of bringing us together, keeping us alive at all costs. That's the prime directive, is to keep us alive. So and that's the ego's prime directive initially. And why? Because look, what do little kids do? Little babies do? They cry. Me. Before they even say me. And they're crying when they're hungry. They're crying when they need to be changed. They're crying when they need something because they can't communicate it. That's the ego. The ego is, and that's where it starts to develop itself. It's self selfish nature. Initially, it's needed. It's needed to survive. Now, here's the thing. Depending on parental guidance, and that's why it's real important. I know it's tough in this world, especially right now with the economy and all that, to spend time with the children, but it's really important to try to teach your kids, especially in school districts, respect and to understand what their ego is. I've been teaching my kids that, and since I've done that, they understand that they look. I tell them, okay, what was that that you just did? Is that ego or is that your quantum side? And they actually say, is that my Newtonian brain or my quantum brain? No, that's my ego, Dad. Well, is that good? What you just did? And he goes, no. Do you have a choice? He goes, yes, I have a choice for my higher awareness, which, and I go, which is what? Connected to the quantum field, which is God. And that's where the choice goes into the, remember the law of superposition, the quantum law of infinite possibilities. And the ego is very limited. It's very self-defeating. It's clever. It's unintelligent. But it always, and it never wants to die. But yet, the irony to it, it ends up killing itself. It stabs itself in the back. And so, it, you know, the people, it's real easy. It's the people who are backstabbing you. You know what the ego isn't? The gentleman that called and asked you for forgiveness? That was so anti-ego. That was higher awareness.
Yeah, it was.
That was ego depleted. That was beautiful. You know, that to me, it touched me, and it was touching. It was a very touching moment for me because it shows me that we do have the ability. And so that really, all in all, that's the easy way of looking at the ego. Does it ever go away? No. But as we get older and we form our identity, George, hopefully we're being taught that the ego, okay, it had its time. Now we need to minimize it. We need to be aware of its dark ways or its selfish ways, and we need to move into a position of self-love, of believing in yourself, having a lot of dignity, which the ego doesn't. Ego always wants to put you down and put everyone else down, and it just wants to think of itself. So, you know, and eventually starting to ask questions of, you know, the four questions. Who am I? Where do I come from? Where am I going? Ego doesn't want you to ask those questions because it leads you where? Into the domain side of the brain that leads you into in the infinite love.
Yes, the spirituality end of you.
And so, yes, the ego doesn't. So that's the real battle. That is the real battle. And so I think a lot of times George, when we're talking, when, you know, as a Christian, I go to church and I hear this, where two or more are gathered, or the two or more, you know, there I am in the midst, you know, it's the reconciliation of those two. I'm saying, what if no one was in the world? Then does that parable go away? I really believe the two starts within. It's reconciliation of your ego and your higher awareness. It's saying, you know what, it helped me live, it played its purpose, and now I'm mature now, I need to take control of it, and thank it for what it did, but now move forward with it, and, you know, acknowledge what it did, and that's it, but not be angry at it.
All right, you know? Let's move on.
Yeah, so that's what it is. We could go on for it in that, but that's just a beautiful thing.
Too. San Antonio, Texas. Ever been there, John? Kidding.
Second one. No, kidding. That's cool. Who do we got?
Cheryl. She's got you. Hi, Cheryl.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie and Dr. Johnny.
Yes,
hi. Yes,
Cheryl.
I am from San Antonio. Hi. I am a hospice nurse, and I have to tell you, I have been privileged to have been taught by Dr. Lerma. In fact, he is responsible for bringing me over to the hospice side and for helping me to understand. The call that you got earlier about the apology, it's so incredible. And Dr. Lerma will verify this, the God incident. This is one of the things that he really is stressing, and he talks about a lot in his book, is how we need to get our relationships right. And we, you know, if we need to go for an apology, we need to do that. You know, if we need to forgive someone else, we need to forgive them. But here it is, you know, a huge call that you got, talking about the very thing that, that Dr. Lerma stresses. And the things that he talks about, these stories that he tells you, these things go on every day in his life. And a lot of people who work in the hospice field see these things as well. And you will find very few people in the medical field who have not experienced, if nothing else, the feeling of the spirit as it's leaving. It's pretty incredible.
That's right. Cheryl, you're awesome. And she is so awesome. She has done such a great job. And since she's been there, more she calls me every time, guess what? Guess what? I saw this and I heard you were right, and I'm going, look, it's not that I'm right. I just, you know, I'm willing to talk about it and put it out in a book, and many doctors are scared of doing that. But people now, I get a lot of calls, George, and a lot of emails from a lot of other hospices now. They feel much more comfortable to discuss it.
Absolutely.
Because I will tell you, George, even hospices, they're being watched very closely about how they communicate the spiritual side of it. And that's why one day I want to be able to have a nonprofit hospice where, you know, people can be themselves. Let's just try to get along and not be micromanaged. You know, it is people at the very end just need to be comforted and loved. And Cheryl understands that. But thank you, Cheryl. You're so awesome.
Next up, we go to Angela in Paris on the international line. Is that where you are, Angela?
Yes, I am. Hello, George.
Hi.
Hello, doctor.
Hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm very well. It's a great show. Speaking of death and dying, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was one of my heroes.
Yes.
She was a Swiss American physician.
One of the best.
One of the best, yes. And, well, I just wanted to tell a very short story. My father, a sergeant, and his lieutenant were both shot and killed in the line of their duty by one with a persecution complex who died in prison. I was a young child. But my father's greater spirit has been with me to this very day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's.
How do you feel him? I mean, you feel him around you?
Yes, he's inside of me, and the high intelligence and the just the best parts of him are still alive within me, working in the world, in the light.
Yeah. I hear you. You know, I you know, a lot of my patients who have lost, you know, especially spouses married over 40 plus years have always told me that they, other than feeling him inside, they actually feel a warmth around them, a protective layer, and they know when they're gone and they know when they come. My dad, I felt the same thing, and I knew the day he left. I'm starting to interview a lot of the survivors now, and I want to write a book about that, not so much about the dying patients, but the survivors and the visions they're having, because that's occurring equally as often as it is to the dying patients, especially to the spouses. And it usually occurs within the first 40 days. You know, we hear, mm-hmm. I hear 4 weeks, you know, for me, just real quick, 4 weeks is usually when they see the first, it's an average, but 4 weeks when they see their first entity. And if they're in the hospital, usually at the doorway, and they have to invite them in. They invite them in and they start to review the life and in a very, very comforting way. If there's anything dark, it's the person themselves that's bringing it on from their guilt. But the other side does whatever it needs to do to take that away. And then the last 3 days of life, usually it's all done. And there are 20, 30, 40 angels in the room, family. It's a joyful occasion. And hopefully those last 3 days, everyone will come, the family that are the survivors will come to an understanding that they need to let them go. I have seen people who are ready to die those last 3 days, and family comes out of the woodwork and says, no, I'm not ready to let them go. And they will hang on so that person lets them go. And they do it because they know if they don't do that and they die, the person will feel guilty later on in life, and they don't want to leave
that's
that
exactly
person.
Right. So you got to let them go, though, John. You got to let them go.
And that's the biggest and hardest, really the biggest obstacle in hospice is my families, the families. And that's why I want to educate more and more people. Disclosure's got to be given.
West of the Rockies, Chico, California, we go. Hi, Sue. Go ahead.
Hello, Dr. Larimore. I have a beautiful story to tell you. I had a very wonderful friend who, believe it or not, in life was a mafia hitman turned Christian. And his housekeeper called me one day and said, Sue, George is gone. And would you believe that he is still with me in spirit and I can feel him around me? I happen to be a blind person. And I have one question.
Wow.
What do you feel when you go and what do you feel on the other side, sir? And I have never seen all of my life, and I lost my vision due to glaucoma later, what little I had.
How long have you been blind now?
My life.
All your life?
Yes, and I lost what little light perception I had due to glaucoma.
Okay, so you really don't have an idea of true shapes of people and so forth, or what they
right.
really look like? Okay.
Right.
That's incredible, George, because I wanted to talk about that part of the research in the blind person.
Yeah.
I want to be in the book.
To be in the book.
I and we need to talk and email each other. But
I don't have a computer.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold. Would you give Jason your phone number and we'll give it to John?
Yeah, and please put your magazine in an accessible format. It is not for us. Your After Dark magazine is only for the sighted.
No, you're right about that.
And please do it.
You're right. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
And Jason, get her phone number, and you give it to John right after the show. Next up, let us go to Los Angeles, where Linda is waiting. Hi, Linda.
Hey, George. This show just keeps getting better and better.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. You know, I don't usually get a chance to stay up this late, but for whatever reason, I'm up, and I was listening, and so many things that you've said in the show have validated my own experience when my mom passed away, and I just want to tell you real quickly, she had multiple brain tumors, and we had gone to see her in the hospital, and she was telling me about this beautiful movie star that came to see her that was dressed in this, you know, gorgeous dress with gold thread. And you know, I just kind of chalked it up to maybe just a hallucination or
right.
something. And then when we got her home, the night before she died, she was telling me that people were coming to take her on a trip. And I actually had to get, not angry with her, but I had to say, well, what are you waiting for? You know, go already. And I, of course, I didn't know she was going to die that night. But that just, you know, when I first started hearing the show and you were talking about the little boy and the angels, it kind of validated what I experienced. And then when you started talking just recently about, you know, seeing things and people in the room, it's like it validated everything that I had experienced.
Your mom did it exactly as most people do. Some say, I'm taking a trip. I want to go home. And so, but the family usually confuses that to the real home, you know, their earthly home.
Right, uh-huh.
And so they're fighting that, doctor, we need to get them home. And I'm going, patient's hardly breathing. We can't get them home. That's not the home we're talking about. And it took me a while to understand that, but that's what they talk about. I want to take the train. The plane, the train, whatever. And in fact, the train will have people that have just been that just died in that arena, in that vicinity. So it's really interesting because they'll tell me, oh, doctor, one of them said, no, I'm not ready. And he saw the train leave with certain people that were in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, look, there was that lady from that room over there, and that man, and I go, well, they haven't told me they died. And I stepped out, and the nurses said, oh, doctor, I just want to inform you that these people just died. So he saw them before I even knew.
Hmm.
And so they're like in a train, I guess, and they come for each other, and it's a full, full, beautiful life on the other side. It's what it's all about.
Well, I never doubted, you know, what she was telling me because, of course, I'm her daughter. I mean, I didn't
have
any trust issues, but it's, I guess it's like you said, you make a choice at that moment to either let them go or tell them to stay.
Well, and a lot of it is once they review their life, if they just, you know, they negotiate, and you can negotiate. Mm-hmm. And it's mainly for their loved ones, the people they really care, like you.
Well, and I really have enjoyed this, and I'm so glad to know that George is a snappy dresser.
He is. Oh my God! And I mean, he really is, and really just a funny guy too, actually.
That just made my night, because I don't want to think of you sitting there like in a t-shirt and shorts or something.
Let me tell you, man. When I was there at that conference, you should have seen all the women going after him, man.
Oh, great. Thanks, John.
No, I mean, really.
Just what I need now, huh?
I go, where's the movie star? Is there a movie star there? And it was, yes, it's George Norrie. You know, they were all like, oh, my God. But you know what? He exudes this bold power that's just really full of just love.
Well, you really want to come back on another show, don't you, Lerma?
No, I'm just telling you who you are. You're nice. I like you. You know, you're a good guy. You know?
I know it. I'm kidding. Pulling you.
I just want you to know that.
What's new on your website, drjohnlerma.com?
Well, again, what's new is I'm just going to keep everybody informed of, you know, what I'm doing, where I'm going to be speaking, maybe other radio shows, but the big one is this quantumwisdommovie.com that's being made by Nick Mendoza.
Yeah, you got to tell us when that's ready to roll, okay?
Yeah, and that should be really cool. And there's going to be also a motion pictures being spoken of right now of the little boy, Matthew. They want to
which will be great. Hey, let's take a quick hello, by the way. We've got Patrick, and we've got Joe, and we've got Rob, and we've got Al. They didn't have time to say hi to you. Hey, guys, just say hi to Dr. John. That's it? That's their way of saying hi to you.
Hey, I love it, man. Hey back, man. That sounds like my patience.
All right, John. Take care of yourself.
All right. God bless, guys.
For Dan Galante, Jason King, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.